for a long time your deep understanding of this issue, and it is welcome. I do appreciate it, because it's a challenge for all of us as to how we get through this. The questions that you raise in relation to the Big Five and the control that they seem to exercise might be Big Five. I think there's really one at the end of the day that is by far the most prevalent in this regard. Is really facilitated by the actions of a number of countries over the years where they allowed their quotas to be privately owned. So quotas were ultimately sold. Ireland took a different position, and as you know, the quotas that we have in stocks is a national asset, which through various different grandfathered approaches, etc., based on tonnage and capacity of the boats, the entities are allocated quota, but from what is the national ownership. And that has prevented that kind of predatory behaviour. I'll happily work with you or anybody else that has information. I take your point about that French issue. It's not something that has been brought to my attention, but I'll happily look at it. I'm not going to call for an investigation until I have a better understanding of what we're investigating. But I'm mindful of the dominance of certain key players, and what's particularly disturbing to me is the capacity to be dominant within the union, to have significant interests outside the union in third countries, and then playing ducks and drakes when we're trying to do agreements between the union and the third countries through the coastal states arrangement. It would seem to me, and we may talk about it later, just reading material that has been released in the last 40, 50 minutes in relation to activities of third countries. That's equally challenging, and so shows a concerted effort to undermine the activities of the union in particular in relation to try to conserve fish stocks, because I see this in terms of recognising the scientific advice not as an act of treason that some might suggest, but rather a recognition that we must conserve the biomass of the various different species to ensure that there's some kind of a future for the next generation. And if we do so appropriately over the next 3 to 5 years, and we allow stocks to rebuild, and we use the muscle and the financial position of our state to help communities to get through that period of time, we can have a future in the fishing sector. But if we're going to be challenged every step of the way by those that are acting within and outside the union, and challenging the very viability of the future of fishing stocks, well then we're going to have to take a different approach. I'll be straight with you. I've challenged the Commission on this. I've made very clear that I think they haven't pushed as aggressively as they might in relation to this. And I think it has to go beyond DG Mara. I think it has to be an issue that's addressed right from the presidency down and across just our entire relationship with those third countries, who all have very valuable, and they work both ways, neighbourhood agreements with the European Union. But fishing must come back in centre stage there. It's important for the coastal communities, it's important for the fishing industry, but it's also important for the biodiversity of our seas, which are an integral part of our challenge, particularly in terms of climate change. Your second question...
The legal.
So, as part of the team, I'd had with me over the weekend, the end of last week and the weekend, I had a representative from the Attorney General's office who was providing advice based on issues as they arose. And it was clear that the judgment of the European Court of Justice, which was litigated previously, that indicated that the Hague preferences and their invocation or their acceptance is a matter for the European, or for the Council. So the Council could decide whether or not to accept our invocation. And there was a blocking minority, and the way the system works, and you're familiar with this, that if the Presidency, Denmark in this instance, were not in a position to get what they would have thought a majority to get it through without a blocking minority, they just didn't table it at all. Because four countries that is required with the population spread to to facilitate a blocking minority was present. You had the Netherlands, effectively led by France in the first instance. And truthfully, when you look at the losses that France would have taken for allowing the Hague to go through was minor. The Netherlands certainly bigger, but not big in the overall context. And then you had Poland and Germany. Germany to a greater extent, Poland to a lesser extent. But the four of them together, through various different connections, came to block. We tried negotiations with some of the countries individually, but there were others that they were able to pull into the mix, quite frankly.
This is a very brief interruption. Just to be specific, and in fairness, I don't expect a definitive